Because I was going to ask, like, I kind of wanted to find some parameters as to what, like, a dad bio, dad history is. Yeah, but I don't want to be rude. Peter, what's been going on? How's your week?
Oh, Matt, come on. You know, there's, how would I describe this? There's the kind of confidence, I don't know, men, usually men, health guys, you try to tell you how to live forever, right?
Oh, and yeah, I'm fascinated by that one guy.
They do, one of the many things they do is to tell you to take a cold shower, right?
Yeah.
It has all these benefits, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard that. I've never really done it. But last weekend, man, something happened where I had no choice but to delve into the realm of cold showers. The old hot water heater hit hit the fan and was out of commission. Had a couple people come and look at it. Ended up having to get a whole new hot water heater.
And you just bought this house. So
we knew. I mean, this is old.
Well, still, it's not like you don't.
And I'm not knowledgeable about these things. They're using terminology. At one point, the first guy goes, if you know all this, and as I'm explaining it, that's like, just let me know. It's like, I know nothing. Shouldn't have said that, I think. That was bad.
Oh, yeah. Depending on.
Yeah, the valve. Yeah, that's quarter inch piping right there. All this kind of stuff. But to go back to the cold shower, it's kind of crazy how cold water is when it's just pure cold. There's no warmth to it. Nothing.
Mm-hmm. Did you embrace it? Or did you not shower for a couple days?
Yeah, I didn't shower for about 1 or 2 days. And then I attempted I needed a shower, Matt. And I'm going to tell you right now, I didn't feel good. It didn't feel great. You know, I did a little bit of research. They say to start off 30 seconds, the cold shower.
But when you're forced to be in there for a couple minutes.
You can't do a couple minutes. I think you would have a heart attack.
I could do. Let me tell you, I do that. I do cold showers every now and then.
You do?
Yeah.
As we head into the summer months, I can kind of, I think it's possible, but it's this spring has been a little chilly. It's been, you know, a few warm days, a few cold days, very windy. And I don't know. I don't think I'm made out for that. The cold water, cold showers.
You got to build up to it.
I don't know.
And then it's, you get endorphins afterwards.
But how long does that last?
Well, it's what keeps you going. It's like with runners or whatever. You get the endorphins after.
I think it wear off pretty fast.
Yeah.
Wear off pretty fast anyway. Yeah. So
that point with the hot water heater, with the house thing, was that you're on the hook to replace it.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't suggesting that you got ripped off. It's just like anything that goes wrong now is your responsibility.
A lot, yeah. You worry a lot. You should be like, what is that? Pilot light. Pilot lights are the bane of my existence right now, man.
Is all fixed now, though?
Pretty much. Then something else broke, but I won't get into that. Hopefully that's not broken. Hopefully that's just a... Anyway. Back to your initial intro. What is a dad bio?
Well, no. It was going to be a... So what kind of books did your dad read?
That's funny you asked that. That's kind of how I was thinking about this upcoming episode we're doing right now. It's all sort of like World War II, like maybe a baseball book, maybe a U.S. history book, Civil War book. What is a dad bio? The intro here. I think you're correct. I think you posted this on Instagram. It's not necessarily a biography.
Yeah, it's a certain type of history, or like the epitome of it. It's ideally, it's just one last name by Ron Chernow, Walter Isaacson, or there's another guy I'm missing. But like Washington. by Ron Chernow, Hamilton by Chernow, Einstein, Isaacson, you know, Da Vinci, like all those are like the epitome.
What was the Lincoln book about his like cabinet?
Team of Rivals.
That was a huge thing.
Yeah, it's that type of thing, and it's usually the history of kind of the country where you're from. Generally, kind of pro. Like, I wouldn't consider People's History of the United States a dad bio.
No.
Even though it's interesting history, that's not the type of. And then it's kind of like it branches out, and there's certain areas, like you were saying, World War II books or Civil War books. They don't necessarily, you know, they can be, you know, usually kind of poppy history. I don't know, that's kind of like, that's the type of history my dad liked.
I did a little bit of sort of like want to do a couple biographies sort of, but I also wanted to like expand it a little bit.
Yeah, and it's just, oh, go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Matt.
Well, I was going to say, in case you haven't guessed, we got a little antsy to do. We had this, it's a great idea called a seasonal read. You know, you do monthly reads, quick reads. We got our Thriller Club read on Patreon. But, you know, seasonal read, something that'll take a little bit. And we got backlogged with Life and Fate and Master and Margarita. And so we're kind of like, we don't want to add another seasonal fiction. But we're like, we like adding books more than reading the books. So it's like, I want to add another seasonal. And so we decided last week, it's like, let's do our April book nominations. And then let's add a seasonal. But let's make the seasonal be like, quote unquote, dad bios. To have be kind of different and not Russian literature, but some kind of fun and pop history-y. So, and it was interesting to like kind of think about the parameters for myself. I have a little fort here. Not all of them are official nominations, but I have like 9 big old books here. Some I'm nominating, some I just want to talk about, whether they're dad bios or just kind of interesting histories or whatever. But it's an interesting kind of exercise, because I was I posted a stack of what I thought were pretty solid dad bios, dad history on Twitter, and Karen, our patron, was like, I've read 3, does that make me a dad? Well, point taken. And it's really just and we can define this however we want, right? It's more of a, I'm kind of looking forward to going over that, seeing what you nominated. And
yeah. Well, on that note, welcome to There Will Be Books, a podcast about books, water heaters, and dad bios. I'm Peter, joined as always by Matt. Matt, it was a little bit of a clunky opening, but it was good. I liked it. Yeah, dad bio, it's not, you don't have to be a dad to read, but it's I don't know.
Kind yeah, of. It's actually, remember in Drive Your Plow with Bones of the Dead?
Yes.
The main character was talking about men and how at a certain age they get what she called testosterone autism.
Mm.
And is where their interests either go to a specific war, or was it a person, like a great man in the past, and they kind of filter, either hobby becomes like really getting into the Civil War or World War II, or like I'm a Churchill guy now, or whatever it is. And I found that true. So it's more of like where your energy goes, your little areas of interest as you age.
I like it.
I think we're aging into that. Like all these books, I'm not being like ironic. Like it's not a dad bio. We'll read it to be goofy. I'm excited about all 9 of these books.
I had to control myself when I was right? with my list. I didn't want to go overboard because we have 2 books that we're going to select this month.
We're only picking 1, but we're going to talk about a lot. So yeah.
No, yeah. We're doing the dad bio and the pop one, right?
Yeah, yeah. And our, well, yeah. So.
So the dad bios, I was like, oh, that would be good.
Fun, right? We're not being ironic. We're embracing it.
I liked it.
We'll call it dad bio, but just know.
And they're all too long, too.
That's why it's a seasonal.
Okay. Dad bio seasonal. All right, Matt. Do you want to start with the dad bio, or do you want to start with the kind of popular fiction? Or
I guess we might as well do dad bio since we're on it. And then April, the monthly book, we had kind of kicked around the idea of doing a bestseller corner over on Patreon. But then, you know, we're like, let's just make our April book of the month be something that has been on the bestseller list halfway recently. We'll talk about the parameters of that later, but those are the two we're doing today.
All right,
just
man.
Need some more books. Just
I'm gonna let you kick us off here this week. Give me your first dad bio nomination.
All right, how many do you have?
I actually have one that borders both. But I have three dad bios. A fourth one is kind of in between a dad bio and a bestseller.
Okay. Okay.
I think these are all of these are probably bestsellers at the time, but this is a recent bestseller that is also
okay.
Dad bio.
Well, and that could give us some leeway. Well, okay. All right. We'll see.
And that's the one I'm going to push for, just FYI.
Okay. All right. So here, the first five, I think, I don't.
How many? You have nine, you said?
Nine.
Can you do,
four of them are like, we should do, like, are my official nominations. The five were kind of like borderline categories. I just kind of want to talk about kind of what they are. If anyone catches your attention and you want to push for it, then I'll go with it.
Okay.
If that makes sense. But I found just some like borderline ones. And I don't know if they count as.
Let's start with your borderline ones.
The parameter. Looks discussing the parameters, okay, more than like official nominations. The first one is called The Great War for Civilization by Robert Fisk, The Conquest of the Middle East. It is, I think, I remember seeing it around in college. I bought it at a used bookstore. I think it's from the early 2000s. Chronicles the last sweeping dramatic history of the last half century of conflict in the Middle East. Robert Fisk was a journalist in the region for over 30 years. So
I'm going to say right now that I think that's a little too broad.
And well, see, I think that's broad could be good here. It doesn't have to be
broad. That's true.
I mean, broad and poppy.
That doesn't seem poppy to me, though.
Well, see, that's the thing. That's what kind of made it borderline. But it actually, it's not academic, right? And I think it's an international bestseller.
That helps it?
I want to say it counts.
Okay.
It's got quotes from the blurbs, Washington Post, Book World, The Nation, and The Economist.
The blurbs, I think, matter too, right?
Well, and I'm just the source, the type of
who's reviewing the book, right?
I think this is dad. Yeah, exactly. I think this is dad bio, but higher brow dad bio.
Higher brow dad bio.
It's not,
I agree,
academic. It's not I don't think it's impenetrable. I don't think it'd be difficult. I think it's just long.
What about grandfather bio? Grandfather would read that book.
Grandfather, I think maybe upper, like grandfather's lake house bio. These are like upper middle class dad bio.
This is grandpa doesn't come to the, you know, family dinner because he's got this. He's reading this on the porch.
No, he talks about everybody, about like Lebanon nonstop at the family dinner because that's what he's reading about in the Robert Fisk book.
Give me another.
Okay.
Like a on the edge here.
Well, so this one I think would count. I don't know how much of a bestseller it is, but I'm interested. My testosterone autism is interested in this part of American life. And it falls in the parameters, just the guy's name, A Life. Tecumseh.
Ooh.
Life by John Sugden. It's a fascinating character.
That's definitely a dad bio.
Yeah. No blurbs.
Okay.
But it's just the out, like the back cover is just an outtake from the book.
Where'd you find that?
A used bookstore. My wife got it for me.
Oh, there you
like,
go.
Hey, Bazaar's got some cool biographies I like. And she bought this one on Tecumseh. But he had like a coalition of Indians. They were kind of like in the Ohio River Valley right before the War of 1812 and right around that time. And they like, that was, they were close to holding. He was as close as they came to like actually winning and having a little settlement that could push back against the settlers. You know what Tecumseh means?
I do not.
Panther passing across when it was born a comet. went across the sky, and it was named Panther passing across or walks across, something like that. But it's cool. So that's a good, and that's one of my dorky areas. I like that.
Do you know anything about John Sugden?
No.
He's British.
Ooh.
Yeah, he's still alive.
Dr. John Sugden.
And he has a lot of, he has a couple of books where it's just title and then
one word title. What are some of the others?
Let me pull them up here. Let me get a full list for you, Matt. So we have Tecumseh, A Life. We also have Nelson, the Sword of Albion.
Oh, that is a dad book title. That's great.
One of them is called Sir Francis Drake.
Hmm.
I think he's done a lot of Nelson because he has Nelson, A Dream of Glory, 1758 to 1797.
You know, that is a cool subject there for a historian who writes books like that. That is just a cool subject. Yeah. Napoleonic Wars, Francis Drake, a pirate, and Tecumseh. It's a good gig.
I think he's only, and then he has some secondary books about, let's see here. So he has the Tecumseh, he has Tecumseh Last Stand. I don't know if that's the same book. I don't think so. Anyway, that's John Sugden.
It counts. Do you think it counts?
Yeah, that counts.
Yeah.
Definitely cool. Counts. Okay. You got two. So let's, I want to let you continue through these. I like this.
Okay, you're not going to do. All right, one more.
Give me one more.
Okay, and this is similar to the Great War for Civilization in like broad theme, but I think, or I think it counts. Let me get your take on it.
All right,
it's a cool subject area that I don't know a lot about. I don't know. Do American Dad bios involving Europe? Are they? This is called Rivers of Gold. The Rise of the Spanish Empire from Columbus to Magellan.
Hmm. I bet if that book was about like the gold rush, definitely a dad bio.
See, but so does it have to be I mean,
I don't think it does.
Because the Robert Fisk one, it's history, but it's also kind of current affairs as the Middle East and America and Britain are heavily involved in the Middle East. This is just early Spanish Empire by a guy named Hugh Thomas. If you look, his picture, author picture isn't a picture, it's a painting, and the man looks very, very British. He looks like he teaches at Hogwarts.
Do you know why he looks like he teaches at Hogwarts? Because his name is Hugh Thomas, Baron Thomas of Swinnerton. He's a baron, Matt.
Yeah. Sometimes British people, like, that's the way,
that's
like,
his whole title.
British nobility. Sometimes they just write a bunch of books. So anyway, okay. Does this count? Who, Arthur Schlesinger Jr. has a blurb? Richard Pipes. So it's all his professor author buddies are doing blurbs on this one.
I don't think that's being sold. Would that be on an end cap at Barnes & Noble? Maybe.
Yeah, when it's brand new. Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's
like new releases in the new release section. It's possible.
I think maybe it's kind of highbrowy.
Okay.
Highbrowy dad fiction.
All right. Well, I like where you're starting this off.
Okay. Yeah.
Tecumseh
yeah.
is definitely a dad
bio. Okay. And the other two are highbrow dad bio.
I'm going to start us off or start my nominations off dad bio. This is, I'm pretty confident all mine are dad bio. This is a book one of three, or like there's three in the series, quote unquote. I think you might have this. You might have actually read this, but I'm not certain. And that would be The Rise of Theodore Roosevelt by Edmund Morris. First published, I believe, in 1979. And this is kind of the rise of Teddy Roosevelt up into his presidency.
That is.
I assume it's sort of like a classic. I've never read it, but it's kind of like one of the, you know, more widely. I mean, it's still read and discussed almost 40 years later as a book that's still in print. So,
yeah.
And did you agree that's a dad bio?
Oh, 100%. 100%. That's in like the epitome. That's up there with Chernow and Team Arrival. Like, yeah.
Have you read this or do you have it?
No, I think my dad has my copy, but yeah, I know. And the next one's Theodore Rex.
Yes.
Yeah, no, 100%, 100% dad bio. Yeah.
This book, at one point, was supposed to be a Martin Scorsese, Leonardo DiCaprio movie. Back.
DiCaprio is going to play Theodore Roosevelt.
Yeah, I want to say this is 2012 to 2013, around then, and then they scrapped the whole idea. That's not the last time I will mention those two, by the way, with my selections.
I remember hearing right around the time Oliver Stone was doing his Alexander the Great movie that DiCaprio was also going to do an Alexander the Great movie. But.
Teddy Roosevelt is the, I don't think you can name five more like perfect
Him
bio characters, right?
and Winston Churchill are probably the two characters,
Yeah,
like for
character.
dad, but yeah.
Okay.
Oh, and Truman by David McCullough is the other epitome,
Oh, yeah.
dad bio type. Yeah.
That.
Okay, good choice. That's like
Thank you.
perfect.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's like who's a baseball player? Joe DiMaggio. You're like, that's yeah. Yeah.
I might have a sports figure later.
Those, yeah, those count too.
Okay. Give me your last two. Kind of on the edge. You're not sure if this is a dad bio, highbrow.
Yeah, highbrow, maybe more literary. I don't, I'm sneakily hoping you'll be intrigued and maybe we just go do it. But this is a cool book. Have you, and it'd be confusing too, as far as our show long TBR, because the title is Black Knight, White Snow. Russia's revolutions 1905 to 1917. And we've done Black Leopard, Red Wolf by Marlon James. And we always talk about doing Rebecca Wilson's Black Leopard, Black Lamb, Gray Falcon. So we could add Black Knight, White Snow and just.
Never heard of this book before.
Harrison E. Salisbury, who is along the lines of Hugh Thomas and
By the way,
who's
for
the.
the listener can't see this, you were holding up the copy of this book. It
Yeah.
looks like it's 1,000 pages.
It's huge, man. It's huge.
You have a hardcover of it. That's impressive they've made a binding of that.
But that is, you know, the seasonal read. He was spent a lot, half a lifetime in Russia, was a war correspondent in Moscow in 1944. So he's just all over wartime Russia and World War II. He's got another book called 900 Days, The Siege of Leningrad. But this is kind of just a really in-depth look, I think, at the fall of the Romanovs and then the social conditions of Russia during the revolution. Like the first inset is a family tree of the Romanovs. And I think it's going to be,
Huh.
I gather, it's just back and forth between the Romanovs and their dysfunction and the revolutionaries who'd eventually take over. So that's another, like,
That's close.
that's a way that your energies could be sucked into. You know, you could just become a big Russian Revolution guy.
I have thought about becoming a like a Russian revolutionary
Right.
history guy.
I mean, this would be perfect. You would like, if I see another copy, I'll get it for you for your
By the
birthday.
way, I looked. It's that's a very hard book to come by.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Sweet.
There
Happy I have it. I'm like sneakily hoping. I don't know if we want to add another Russian thing
Oh, the
here,
yes.
but yeah. But you know, that's a, I don't, it's not a typical area, but I think it counts.
No, I
Most
think so.
dads do Civil War, World War II, but you know, a
Yeah, you gotta
branch is a
learn. You gotta learn
branch.
about the other side, right?
Yeah. Or it's a branch of the possible of the dad bio tree, I guess.
I agree.
Okay. Now, one more. I'm
Such a long
gonna do
book.
you. Well,
Such a long
that's the point of this. Don't be put off by long
book.
books.
I might be
That's
put
what we're
off.
doing.
Edmund Moore's book was very long too, so I don't have a copy of it.
That's why they're seasonal.
Yeah.
We can't hold back.
Okay.
Right.
We gotta
Okay,
have.
well, this one, I think this counts by virtue of the subject matter. Oh wow. Hugh Thomas blurbed it. I didn't know that.
Hey.
You ever heard of BH, the initials BH, Little Heart, LIDDELL? He
No.
was famous. He wrote books on strategy. I think his most famous one. It's a lot of the guys who like Stoicism promote are like big on his book on strategy, military strategy. He wrote a book about Lawrence of Arabia, kind of from a strategic angle.
Okay.
His guerrilla strategy house. Anyway, that was his thing. This is published posthumously. It's his last book. It is History of the Second World War. I
Okay.
think focusing on strategy, and it was they pulled it together from his journals, almost like day by day. Here's how the war is going, the big picture strategic view.
Huh.
And excited just talking about it.
Book might be longer than the other one you just
Don't worry about length, Peter. It's not. It's actually 700 pages.
B.H. Little Heart. I've never heard of him.
It's interesting stuff, like big picture strategic stuff. But this is like,
So this was from, it looks like 1970. Does that sound correct?
maybe published, but it was, he died.
Okay.
He died in 1970. So yeah, they published it after his death. But yeah, I think you like World War. I thought that might be appealing
I
to you.
love World War II history.
A strategic focus on
So
World War.
we're gonna learn all the, military chain of command stuff.
Yep. Tank formations,
Tank.
raw, like raw resources.
Kind of
You know?
ammo we got.
Yeah. Yep. But I don't know. That seems kind of fun. I mean, I guess that's a serious nomination too. But that does that count?
It does count.
It's, I don't know if it's more highbrow or maybe like a retired military dad might be into that. You know, the kind of hardcore. You know, there's little military battle charts with like the red line and the blue line and the little marks for cavalry and tanks. Lots of those maps.
I like that. I like that map.
Okay.
All right, let
Okay.
me my second dad bio. All right. We're gonna stay in World War II. All right, and this is a classic of the genre. This author's work, two most famous works that you can actually buy in a like a very nice Library of America. Those hardcovers where they have like the very thin paper. They have this work and another work. And that would be The Longest Day by Cornelius Ryan,
Nice.
which m was made into a very famous movie. I like the kind of blurb from Library of America was very interesting. So, a visit to Normandy beaches in 1949 inspired Ryan to write a book about D-Day, a task that took a decade to complete. The Longest Day is a democratic history in which American paratrooper John Steele, hanging from a church steeple in midst of battle, and the German infantryman Joseph Heger, trapped inside a besieged bunker, shared the stage with top commanders General Dwight Eisenhower and Field Marshal Erwin Rommel. Ryan captures the nervous anticipation felt by Allied servicemen and French civilians as they await the signal for the invasion. Very famous book. I don't know, this D-Day is written about a lot since then. So I don't know if like the kind of the history has changed, like what is actually known more. But I wanted to go for a classic. This was written relatively, right after the war, 1959, 15 years about. So The Longest Day by Cornelius Ryan. Dad bio, Matt.
Oh yeah, 100%. That's perfect.
I'm not doing Spanish Rivers of Gold.
Yeah.
I'm playing the hits here, Matt.
Longest Day. Have you seen that movie?
I've not seen the movie.
Oh, it's good.
John Wayne.
It's one of those where everybody's in it and they get like 5, 10 minutes, like Henry Fonda, but they get like 5, 10 minutes, and it's on to the next scene. It's a good movie.
We
You
should.
should, you'd like it, even if you don't. Even if we don't pick it, you should.
Oh, come on. You can't dismiss this.
Well, I gotta see what else is going on.
All right. Let's go into your heavy hitters, Matt. Your
Okay.
top four.
This could be fun if you're in the mood. I really
That's not really
like,
selling it.
well, you'll see what I mean. I really like books like this growing up. As a campaign biography, like a journalist goes on the road
Yeah.
during the campaign. This one's from 1988, I believe. It's called What It Takes by Richard Ben Kramer.
It takes.
Yeah, and it's supposedly considered like one of the best ever campaign biographies. It was an American Iliad in the guise of contemporary political reportage. What It Takes penetrates the mystery at the heart of all presidential campaigns. How do presumably ordinary people acquire that mixture of ambition, stamina, and pure shamelessness that makes a true candidate? And so this is 88 in the primary, like from the early primaries, George Bush, Bob Dole, Dukakis, Gary Hart.
Oh, so it's everybody.
It's everybody. I think that's another form of dad bio is kind of the.
I agree.
That's big a good, old political very, thing. Yeah, and I've wanted to read this forever. I don't know. I really like stuff like that. Fear and Loathing on the Campaign Trail. One of my favorite books. So.
What It Takes.
Yeah.
All right, Matt, let's see here. The longest day. Okay. My last one, I don't think we'll pick it, but dad bios, I specifically think of baseball players, all right?
Okay.
And for me, my dad was a huge fan of the Yankees growing up. His favorite player was Mickey Mantle. So my last selection, or I have one other one that's tied to the both bestseller and nonfiction, but my last just purely dad bio one is called The Last Boy, Mickey Mantle by Jane Levy. Fairly recent book. I think I might have actually gotten my dad this for Christmas or his birthday, but I think dad bios, you think of sports heroes in your childhood, kind of the heyday of baseball.
Yeah.
1960s, Mickey Mantle's he was a beloved athlete and kind of, he had some warts, kind of came out later, I think he was a well-known alcoholic and sort of had an early death, but Mickey Mantle.
Yeah.
It's a good, I feel like, dad bio subject.
Yeah.
You agree?
100%. You're doing good with these.
Thank you. Thank you.
Doing good with these. Yeah.
Enjoy it. Enjoy
I
it.
I like that. Mantle came up in ball four a little bit.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was always injured. I read somewhere where he had, it didn't make sense, but he made 20 All-Star games, but he only played 18 seasons for the Yankees. I don't quite understand that. I was on the Baseball Hall of Fame. I was like, that doesn't make a lot of sense. So maybe we learn about that.
But I don't know.
Come on.
Maybe didn't really play in a season, but he was Mickey Mantle towards the end, and so they just let him in the All-Star game.
Possible. Could have been injured.
Yeah.
Born in Oklahoma.
Yep.
There you go. Mickey Mantle.
I
should have picked a George Brett or something bio, but Mickey Mantle's.
No, Mickey Mantle works. Your dad's
one of the top five most famous baseball players ever.
Well, it's him, DiMaggio, Ted Williams, probably. Babe Ruth.
Willie Mays.
Yeah. Hank Aaron. Like, yeah.
What? Hank Aaron's up there. Hank Aaron has a couple books. Satchel Paige is actually pretty.
Yeah.
About him. He was actually, yeah. Anyway. All right. That's my last pure dad bio. And then I'll bring up my next one will be the bestseller recent book. But okay.
But also a dad bio.
Yes, I think.
Man, all right. Can't wait. Can't wait.
That's the next one I'm going to say is the one I'm going to push for. Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Give me two, Matt. Give me two.
All right. So this one, I actually read this one when I was a freshman in college. I got strep throat and just sat around reading this book.
You told me about this.
It was fascinating and I love it. And I'm curious to see. I think you would like it. It's very much pop history, but fun dad bio. Another Russian thing. I'm curious
about Peter the Great.
Peter the Great by Robert K. Massey. I am curious if you have to have strep throat to enjoy it or if I just like it as is. It's cool. Big tall guy, like 7 foot tall.
I know the name. Obviously, I share the name of this Peter the Great. Remind me.
Okay,
when was he around? What's he known for? What's going on with Peter the Great?
Had St. Petersburg built, named after him.
Okay.
Russia at that point needed a waterway. They didn't have any waterways. So he had a city built up north just because there was a port. There could be a port there. He opened it up. He toured the West when he was a young, like teenager, early 20s, like West being Europe. And he made a big effort to westernize Russia. There's lots of little German communities within Russia. Those come from him because he had a bunch of, he wanted European culture, so he invited a bunch of Russian immigrants.
Okay.
The war with Sweden, he's a good military guy. Towards the end of his life, kind of one of those rulers like Mithridates, who would have big drinking bouts, just drink all night with his advisors and stuff. And it's just a fascinating life, period of history I had no idea about. I don't know. Or I was just kind of feverish. Who knows?
I like that. That's a good one. I might be in the lead. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Give me your third one.
All right. This is kind of along the, it 100% counts. It's just whether it's highbrow
Okay.
or middle brow. I'm curious. I've had this forever. I've wanted to read it. The guy's been called the American, or maybe the Southern, Gibbon. It's a three volume set. This is just the first one. It's the
More.
Civil War, Fort Sumter to Perryville by Shelby Foote.
Oh yeah, Shelby
Have
Foote. Oh,
you heard it? Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this would be, if you're going to become a Civil War buff, I think you'd start here. And I think it's like the BH Little Heart, where it's like the grand strategy of the Civil War.
I know you don't watch Ken Burns, but he
Is he on? He's interviewed on there, right?
he's interviewed on the Ken
Yeah.
Burns Civil War.
Yeah. I don't know, man. This
Oh
could,
man, that's a good one.
we just, and this three volume, and we just do the first volume and just dive into the Civil War, become Civil War guys.
Shelby Foote. I'm gonna look to see if Shelby Foote's still. I think
I don't think so.
my parents had Shelby Foote, the Civil War books growing up,
They're,
kind of
yeah,
in their like
cool looking.
little library thing. The book Shelby Foote, looking him up right now.
I think he's dead. He was friends with Walker Percy,
Oh
the
yeah, he
novel,
died in
actually.
2005. He's been dead for a while.
Yeah.
Interesting. So where did you want to do? Oh yeah, so I think they came out in 1958. Could be wrong about that. He also wrote a book about Shiloh. I've seen that in stores.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good. That's a great selection, actually. He's from Greenville, Mississippi. How about that? All right, that's really good. That might top mine. All right, here's my Dad Bio New York Times bestseller. Came out last year. Okay. It is The Wager by David Grann. Are you familiar with the book? He's the author of Killers of the Flower Moon. Okay. I'm going to read you the bio of the or what this book's about, and I think it's going to sell you. Okay. On January 28th, 1742, a ramshackle vessel of patched together wood and cloth washed up on the coast of Brazil. Inside were 30 masticated men barely alive, and they had an extraordinary tale to tell. They were the survivors of His Majesty's ship, the Wager, a British vessel that had left England in 1740 on a secret mission during the Imperial War with Spain. While the Wager had been chasing a Spanish treasure-filled galleon known as the Prize of all the Oceans, it had wrecked on a desolate island off the coast of Patagonia. The men, after being marooned for months facing starvation, built the flimsy craft and sailed for more than 100 days, traversing nearly 3,000 miles of storm-wrecked seas. They were greeted as heroes. But then, 6 months later, another even more decrepit craft landed on the coast of Chile. This boat contained just three castaways, and they told a very different story. The 30 sailors who had landed in Brazil were not heroes. They were mutineers.
That's really good. That's
Isn't
really good. Yeah. Yeah.
that good? I stopped it there
Yeah.
because the
Yeah. No, see, that's, and I know I've read David Graham before. Didn't he do The Lost City of Z?
Yes, he did.
I read that. And
That's
he had a little, they're not short stories, but they're articles about stuff like that. He's really good at finding like the interesting little, he had a collection of his little articles. Yeah, that's fascinating. That's good. And I saw that come up. I was like looking at bestsellers. Yeah.
Yeah, I was on
That's
it
good.
when it first came out last year. It was, I think, number one, or I think it stayed on the top 10 for months and months and months.
That's a good one.
I
And
picked it
that's
up in Santa Fe last summer.
oh, nice. Yeah.
I've gotten some. I know two people who love the book. Family friend.
I'm sure it's
Bookish
kind
people. Yeah, yeah,
of,
yeah.
I'm sure it's gonna be good.
So
And
that's the
then
one I want to push for, sort of, but I'm open to anything, sort of.
well, I don't know. I wouldn't take a lot of convincing, I don't think. There's a lot to think about, a lot to ponder. You know, and that's another branch of the dad bio tree is like kind of the adventure slash
Yeah.
myth. Because there's a couple famous ones, but Shackleton's Expedition. I think those count too.
The
Polar
other area
exploration.
I was thinking of was
Yeah.
like nature and national parks.
Yeah.
John Muir, all that kind of stuff. That's dad bio. That's right in the.
Yeah, and depending on how they do it, because I wonder some of that stuff can veer into
But like.
literary. Because I don't know if what's his face, Edward Abbey,
Yeah,
he's that
nah,
type
yeah,
of
that's a
thing,
good
but he's
point.
not dad bio. He's more rebel literary type.
Isn't there a very famous book about like Lewis and Clark? Lewis and Clark.
Yes, that's David McCullough or Stephen Ambrose.
Oh, the
But those
Pioneer
are dad bio.
Priest. Yes.
The
Stephen
Lewis and
Ambrose is,
Clark.
yeah.
Stephen Ambrose is another like top five. Like my dad literally, have you read Ambrose, Lewis and Clark? Like, so yeah.
When I was like 12, I think I bought D-Day by Ambrose. So
Yeah, yeah.
that's how early my World War II, I don't know, interests started. And I got like 80 pages. It was kind of too much for me. I should pick that up again.
Should have nominated it.
Should have nominated it. If I'm not mistaken, Matt, you have one more.
One more. This is a good one too. As a four-part series, the author's still working on it. He's the nonfiction George R.R. Martin.
Okay. Oh, is this?
This is book one of the Lyndon Johnson series by Robert Caro.
Okay.
And I think it 100% counts. Maybe it's a little highbrow.
Oh, no.
It's not lionizing Johnson. It's just kind of, it's telling the story of the United States with Lyndon Johnson as the through line. They're very, very good. And this one's just the path to power, the first one.
Path to power.
Yeah. You'd really like it.
You brought out the heavy hitters at the end, Matt.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, these are, yeah. It really, it starts, it's like, you know, his grandparents or great grandparents settled in Austin, Texas. So you get a little bit of the landscape in Austin, like what you can grow. People went there. It looks really lush and green. People are like, oh, we're gonna farm here. We're gonna be, you know, it's a land of plenty. But it turns out Austin's like on the borderline of those little agricultural zones they have. So it looks really lush, but the soil's like a couple inches deep. So you can't really get down and grow crops. Trees and grass go and make it look great. So it's like wound up becoming like poor people country, which is Lyndon Johnson. And then his grandparents were like the time of the Comanche raids. So you get a little Comanche Texas Ranger history of Austin in the 1860s. And that's what I mean. Like, so, and you get, you know, as you go through Lyndon Johnson's life, you get kind of the history of the area he's at. So when he's in the state, his dad is a representative in the state house. And so you get a picture of what the state house was like in the 1890s. Bunch of drunken Texans making, you know, like it's just,
Yeah.
it's very, very well done. So, path to power.
Where do you where do you see your favorites right now, Matt, for this dad bio?
With yours, I like The Longest Day. And the David Grant. You know, I mean, I the David Grant is very good. It's just how we I don't know, how do we do that?
Wager's not a long book, I will say that.
Yeah, so.
It's not really seasonal length.
So yeah, I don't
So
know.
for me, it's Volume One, Shelby Foote, and Path to Power of yours. Probably Peter the Great and Tecumseh, kind of in the same ballpark. But my favorite nomination of yours would be the Shelby Foote, because that has been on. I think I even thought about putting a Civil War book on.
Yeah.
And that's definitely for Fort Sumner too. Where does it end with?
Perryville. I
Perryville.
think it's the first, I don't know, there's three volumes. And you could look up it. Obviously, the third one obviously ends in Appomattox. Yeah, second one is Fredericksburg to Meriden. And then volume three is Red River to Appomattox. So what if we, I'm with you that what if we set this is the Civil War aside, we set Grant aside, and we move on to the April bestsellers, and we see where we're at with the bestsellers, and we can kind of work something out.
Compromise
Compromise. I mean,
an agreement.
yeah.
Okay.
The Path to Power is good. Path to Power and Peter the Great are also kind of things we could maybe sneak on the show at some point. A lot of, yeah.
Let's move over to our bestsellers here.
Okay. I'm curious, how did you approach? So we're just going to do April, just a bestseller.
Yeah, so these are all within the last 2 years. So
Okay.
the wager is kind of a part of this, but one of them my wife bought, and I was like, that I've seen this author a million times. So that's how I got inspired by that. One of them, actually, both two of them were like authors my wife has read and liked. So, and then the third one is an author I've read and really liked before. And they had a book that came out last year and very famous, like popular, famous author. But this time it got selected by the Reese Witherspoon Book Club, got picked up, and boom, went to number one.
Okay.
So that's how I came about. How about you?
Okay. Well, I noticed there are a lot of ways to go because there's a lot of the New York Times has hardcover, fiction, fiction, e-reader, there's YA, there's a lot of, you know, but I figured in the spirit of this, I would do fun things that might be kind of fun and quick and maybe stuff we wouldn't usually do is kind of the way I approach it. Because there were a couple I wanted to do at least from the 2020s. There were a couple that like could be like serious nominations, more books we would do. But I went like a Percival Everett's new book called James, which is Huck Finn from
I actually
Jim.
have that checked out from the library right
Okay,
now.
see, I was like that. Oh, I was like, oh, we could do that. And then the Demon Copperhead by Barbara Kingsolver and James McBride, the guy who did Good Lord Bird, his new one's on there. So it's like we could have done, but I decided not to because I thought, no, we're going to do like fun bestsellers that we wouldn't normally read. So I was tempted to go, but I kind of embraced the more fun aspect. So that's mine. And I only have, technically, I have four because I happen to own one, but yeah, three
All
or
right,
four fun ones.
let me kick us off here.
Okay.
Here's an author I've liked. I think I've maybe tried to get you to read her work. Debuted at number one. The book came out last year, and it's Tom Lake by Ann Patchett. And this is the book that got picked up by
Okay.
Reese Witherspoon. Just
Yeah.
a little bit about this synopsis here. It's time to harvest the cherries from their Michigan orchard. But the pandemic means that Joe Nelson, his wife Laura, and their daughters Emily, Maisie, and Nell must pick all the fruit themselves. To lighten the lengthy, grueling work days, and prompted by the recent death of world-famous actor Peter Duke, the girls press Laura to tell them about her romance with Duke at Tom Lake, a summer stock company in Michigan, and her decision to give up acting after one big role. Laura reminisces, peppered with feisty comments from her daughters and periodic appearances from her genteel, steadfast husband, provide the foundation for Patchett's moving portrait of a woman looking back at a formative period in her life and sharing some, but only some of it with her children. I really like Patchett. That sort of sounds a teeny bit Hallmarky, a little bit maybe, but I'm
Little
confident.
bit.
Patchett's very accomplished writing that I would actually want to read this book outside of just the podcast.
You kind of got me curious. Yeah. Well, and that's, you know, it's kind of interesting. There's like a kind of border between Hallmarky stuff and serious literature, family drama stuff. Like I've actually heard people complain. I think Jennifer Weiner and what's her name? There's another big Jodi Picoult. they get kind of like thrown in with like, oh, they're women writers who write for women. And I think Picoult made a point, and it's a fair point. It's like, why is Franzen, like, his is serious literary drama, but it's just fan, you know, like it's
I
not.
would say I've having read Patchett, Patchett's very good. Like,
Well, see, and that's kind of what I'm talking about. So there's a Hallmarky version of that, or like kind of a good literary form of those conven of the family drama thing, you know?
book from about, God, this must be almost 20 years now. Bel Canto, probably one of my favorite top 25 books. Top 50, 25. It's a, I haven't revisited it since I read it in like, 20, oh, probably read it in 2007, 2008 time. It's fantastic. So then I kind of read some of her other books. She had a nonfiction collection of essays called These Precious Days that came out a couple of years ago, like during the pandemic. It's actually excellent. I think you would like it, actually. So, that's my first one, Matt. Your first bestseller nomination.
Do this. This probably isn't as far as the our first episode to do about this author. It probably wouldn't be the place to start, but it's a bestseller and is on the list, and we haven't done Stephen King yet.
Oh.
He's got a book called Holly. I guess it's number three in the series, but I don't know. Whatever. Holly Gibney, one of Stephen King's most compellingly her compelling and ingenious, resourceful characters, returns in this thrilling novel to solve the gruesome truth behind multiple disappearances from a Midwestern town. And the cover is a very Stephen King cover of like a cool old house at sunset.
I don't think I've heard this. Oh yeah, the cover. Okay.
Yeah, it can. I mean, it's bestseller.
Yeah.
There are other older Stephen Kings that might be more appropriate, but I'd read this, see what it's about.
I like that. We do need to read Stephen King at some point. I've never read Stephen King. Well, I'll take his fiction. I read a good chunk of his on writing
I'm writing,
when I
yeah,
was in
but
college.
that doesn't count. That, yeah.
Doesn't really count. All right, Matt. My next nomination bestseller. This is the an author my wife really liked. She wrote a book called The Nightingale that my wife read in like 2 or 3 days. Her latest is a kind of a runaway bestseller, and that's called The Women by Kristen Hannah. And this is a book that takes place in Vietnam. And let's see here. A young woman's experience as a nurse in Vietnam casts a deep shadow over her life. When we learn that the farewell party in the opening scene is for Francis Frankie McGrath's older brother, a golden boy, a wild child who could make the hardest heart soften, who's leaving to serve in Vietnam in 1966, we feel pretty certain that poor Finley McGrath is marked for death. Still, it's a surprise when the fateful doorbell rings less than 20 pages later. His death inspires his sister to enlist as an army nurse, and this turn of events is just the beginning of a roller coaster of a plot that's impressive, engrossing, if at times a bit formulaic. Women by Kristen Hannah. That sounds kind
Was
of
that a
interesting.
review? Surely that wasn't the blurb
That
from.
was a review.
Okay, I was gonna say
That's
it
from,
sounded like good until the last sentence. You're like,
yeah,
okay.
that's from Kirkus Reviews. Yeah.
That's fine.
It was like the blurb was like, yeah, it's a bit formulaic.
Should have cut that line if you're gonna put it on the jacket.
Yeah, actually the Tom Lake one was also a review from Kirkus. So but they were both I think they were both starred reviews on Kirkus.
I've heard of her. I actually thought if we ever did another out of the blue type stuff we don't normally read, Kristen Hannah would be a good author.
She had another one called Great Alone, I want to say, something like that. Nightingale, yeah.
See, I remember she had one called Firefly Lane, and it's just a light blue cover with a
She's
bunch of
written, I didn't realize
fireflies.
she's written, I want to say like 20 books or something
Been
like that.
around a while, yeah.
Yeah.
Never read her, probably because I judged the covers as not being not for me, but it. In the spirit of what we're doing here, that's a good nomination.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Yeah. Let's see here. Yeah. The Great Alone is the one I was thinking of. All their books, yeah, they Fire Fly Away, is that what the one you're talking about? Firefly. I don't know.
Firefly Lane, Nightingale Circus, something like that. I don't know.
Anyway. Matt, your next nomination.
All right. Kind of the same, like out of the blue. It actually doesn't sound too bad when really look for it otherwise. But this one, I think it was from December, November last year. Lessons in Chemistry by Bonnie
Ooh.
Garmus. Let's
Book
see.
was like a very popular.
The author is?
No, this book, I remember seeing this at the bookstore.
Yeah. A nominee for Best Historical Fiction 2022. Winner Best Debut Novel 2022. Oh, and it's still on the bestseller list in 2023, which is where I found it.
It made a TV show about it too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, chemist Elizabeth Zott is not your average woman. In fact, Elizabeth Zott would be the first to point out. Okay, I get it. But in the what chemist who goes on to what have her own cooking show?
He accepts a job on a TV cooking show. He sets out to
Yeah.
teach a nation of housewives way more than recipes.
Yeah, she's daring them to change the status quo. Laugh out loud funny, shrewdly observant, and studded with a dazzling cast of supporting characters. Lessons in Chemistry is as original and vibrant as its protagonist. You like a dazzling cast of supporting characters, Peter.
I'll be honest, I kind of want to read this book. More than 6 million copies sold, Matt. Stephen King. Did you see Stephen King's blurb about this book?
No.
It is irresistible, satisfying, and full of fuel and witty, sometimes hilarious. The catch-22 of early feminism.
Really?
What the heck, Stephen King?
It's a
And
good comparison.
catch-22 is like in that. Referencing the novel, not just sort of the.
The conundrum. No, I figured. I figured.
Bonnie Garmus? How do you pronounce her
Yeah.
name?
Huh, debut novel.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Hey, good nomination.
I think that a debut novel from an author who, look, judging from a bio picture, is. This is kind of a late in life debut novel. She's had a full life.
Well,
I would guess she's in her 60s,
Sound
if I'm wrong, but she was
like you're being a little judgmental there.
I think that's cool. I think that's awesome. I think
She's
that
35, Peter.
she's not, is she really?
You're not supposed to.
No, guess, I don't know.
No,
She's been,
I'm
she
just
has,
kidding.
she's 66 years old, Matt.
It's just you got to be careful. You can't go around saying, judging by the way
Well,
you
I
look
thought it was
your whole
very,
life, that's
I, you know, that gives us hope. At some point in our lives, we can write a book. It's not all a young person's game of debut novels and stuff like
no,
that.
I
Oh,
understand what you're saying. I'm
okay.
just telling you to be careful. Don't actually say the word.
Yeah, I know.
Judging by the way you look, you've led a full life.
Well, no, I was reading the bio and it's like here, all the
I'm
jobs she's had. That's a very
oh,
cool life. She's
I get it now. I
okay.
just you gotta be careful with stuff
I
like
didn't tell you that I was reading about her life anyway.
that. Okay.
Lessons in
I thought you
chemistry.
were judging by her picture. Like, Peter, you can't do that.
She probably has led a full life, Matt. Much fuller than mine.
Because she looks so old, you can't say stuff like
No,
that.
okay. It's a positive. I don't know. Is it? I don't know. All right. Matt, if we were still working at the bookstore, we would be tired of hearing about this author. We would be opening boxes with this author's books in it. We would probably have to work midnight, book, oh, I don't know. What were the book party type things?
Yeah, the midnight, the first day to.
So far, all of her books, there's I think four main series that she has going on, have sold 38 million copies.
Wow.
This is book one in what's called the Crescent series, and it's called House of Earth and Blood by Sarah J. Maas.
Heard of her. This YA, is this from the YA list or is this adult?
So I think some of her books are YA, some of her books are adult. I think this is adult. My wife also has listened to, my wife, like all she did for like 2 weeks was listen to one of the series. There was like four of them. All of her books sort of have like of is the second word in the title. Like
Yeah,
House
something
of,
of.
yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, this is a fantasy book. I read the synopsis. I couldn't make heads or tails of it, really. It's like, I don't know, it's fantasy. It's also like 800 pages. So my wife owns it. That's kind of, I was like, you know what? That's a bestseller. I don't know what these books are about. And I asked her, I was like, are all these books connected? And she's like, she's not sure.
They are all over the place. They're very popular amongst
All
this.
over the place.
This would
Goes to
be
a
like a
place.
what the what are the, what are, what the kids are doing type pick. Like when we read Addie LaRue, it's like, all right, what's
That
going
was
on?
a really good book, Addie
That
LaRue.
was a good book. Yeah.
It's a really good book. Invisible Life. I forgot about that book.
Yeah.
Matt, give me your last two, one.
I, well, let me just do the one that my wife owns and that's also really popular that I'm ambivalent about, but it could be fun just to do like what the kids are reading thing. The Fourth Wing,
That's
Eric
it.
Yarros.
Has she read that?
No, but her, so it's her friend gave my wife her copy. It's impossible to get the library, I guess. It's one of those where the whole like 100 people have it on hold, like you're not getting it. So,
Let me see.
yeah, but this and Sarah Mast, there, this is like the big, I don't know if this,
These are
Becky,
two bookstores in
yeah.
business here.
Oh, it's not her first book. She's an author of more than 15 novels, but this is like huge right now. And it's a fantasy. I'm looking at the thing. There's a map. You can tell it's going to be a good fantasy because there's like a map on the opening page. Map called the continent surrounded. It's an island, or I guess a continent.
So this, okay, I
But on the surrounded by the Emerald Sea, a bunch of mountains
is
and
it book one or is it
it's book one. I didn't want to start in the middle of series.
So good news, and I've never seen this before from our library. The wait list is only 9 people, which is kind of crazy.
Ooh,
Okay.
nice.
That's because the library owns 38 copies of this book.
See, I bet they, and then, 4 or 5 months ago, when this book was handed over, I'm sure it was 100. You know, so.
I've never seen the library 38, like three is a lot.
That's a lot. That's so. This is like a big.
38.
It's a big book. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you have one more?
Oh yeah. Are you done? Yeah. And then this is my third. This actually seems like a good, be like a good thriller corner book, but this is a bestseller. It's called None of This Is True by Lisa Jewell. It's a psychological thriller. Oh, and oh, I picked this because it involves a podcast, right? Lisa Jewell returns with a scintillating new psychological thriller about a woman who finds herself the subject of her own true crime podcast.
Oh,
A podcaster gets caught up in a murder mystery.
that's a podcast.
It'd be fun. Right? Some quick fun is what I was going for.
I like
Something
that.
a little different than usual.
All right, Matt, where do you want to, how do we want to navigate this? We have so many books here.
Well, you know what? And we're already pretty far gone into the weeds of TBR,
Yeah.
just, you know, overflowing. In a lot of ways, it's like the TBR is the third member of the podcast.
Is the third member of the
So just hear me out. If
podcast.
you don't like it, I'll pretend like I'm joking. If you like it, I'll go with it. We do a bestseller, like a fun. We do the Sarah Maas or the Fourth Wing or something quick, fun for like the April bestseller. We do the Civil War, Fort Sumner to Perryville as our seasonal history. And we could even like break it up as we read it. Like the first 100 pages, we could do a really dorky, in-depth analysis of. Like really break down Civil War history and just go full dork dad style, right? I'll buy some Crocs and I'll wear cargo shorts and we'll do like episodes on Civil War. But then we also the special loophole and we do The Wager by David Gran.
Okay.
So we add three.
I thought you were gonna do that. I thought that
What if
was
we just
your plan.
did that?
Okay.
We don't have, we could do the Grand as the best seller.
Hey, let's here's what
Is that
let's we're adding the Shelby Foote and we're adding the wager, right?
okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Right? Because I want to read them.
We want to
You'd
read
be doing it
those.
anyway for like your library reads or whatever. It's not like we
Yeah.
just talk about it on here. And then I think, I don't know, in the spirit of this thing, we should do like a fun bestseller. Something that go quick. Something fun.
I'm intrigued by Lessons in Chemistry.
Yeah.
Because the fourth wing and the moss are so long.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Well, how long is the fourth wing?
I Fourth Wing is, and some of these, it's 500 pages.
Probably reads fast, though, right?
Yeah. I wonder the Moss, too. What was the Kristen Hannah?
And
Lessons
Pat,
in
well,
Chemistry seems good.
intrigued by Lessons in Chemistry. Let's see how that's on the library.
Yeah, see, yeah. Maybe we could just do Lessons in Chemistry.
Holy cow.
What?
There's 11 holds on this book,
Okay.
and the library owns 46 copies of it.
Huh. But it's,
That's why, wow.
but it's popular. So that's kind of what we were aiming for, right? Is to
Yeah, let's do
do
Lessons in Chemistry.
Lessons in Chemistry. The Catch-22 of 60s
Stephen
cooking
King.
show.
So,
You can.
why did we add three books this month?
I think because we're at a tipping point where it just doesn't matter anymore. We're gonna do more. Our next episode will be a book review. It's not gonna be picking more
Just
books.
add, this podcast is just us adding books that
Adding
we
books.
never
At a
talk
certain
about.
point, I wonder if it's gonna become that. And people catch on. It's like, do you ever read anything? You're just like, nah, we just add books.
We're busy. My water heater broke. Man, I got kids. There's a lot of stuff going on. It's not a lot of time to read all these books that we have. And guess what? We're off. Like, you know, the side book I've been reading. It's like, what? No, we need life coaches, book coaches.
Well, what we need is for enough people to contribute to the Patreon to where we don't have this side stuff
Yeah.
and just our full time. So.
I did text Matt this week. I Mithridates, that book we added, I think in November. I'm loving it so far.
It's good, isn't
Oh,
it?
every page I'm like, oh, this is like
See.
for it, the story. I don't want to get into it, but I don't know, I'm 85 pages in. Like how the author creates this story with like seems like not a lot is known early on in his life, so it's a lot of like piecing together sort of.
She's not working with a lot of material because it's
Yes,
so ancient, but
but
it's.
I think that's kind of fun, like the fun of the story.
Yeah. And as long as you're upfront about it, very
Yeah,
factual, like here's what we know, and that'll be a two-parter.
that's
Same
fun.
as being thorough, but that'll be a two-part. That'll be fun to kind of go.
But no, yeah, and so we'll have A Question of Upbringing is probably the next book we'll
That
cover.
will be next. And
Anthony Pohl. It's Pohl.
then it's Pohl, not Powell.
Oh, yeah. Which is
And then another book review after that. I'll try to make it up to you guys.
Over on our Patreon, we're reading The Nine Tailors. It's our thriller. It's our thriller corner, but this is a kind of the classic
Golden Age
golden
mystery.
age of mystery. I'm almost done with the book. It is definitely I can see how it's gained the reputation as like a classic in the genre of mystery. I don't think you started it, Matt, but
I couldn't find out audio, so I got to read the thing, and I like open it, flip through the first page, all that stuff to the left with all the numbers and stuff. I was very confused, and so I haven't got any further than that.
Yeah, I just jump in.
Well, I can keep going. I'll be able to handle it, but
just get to page two. But no, I'm enjoying it quite a bit. So
cool.
that'll be over on Patreon here in the next couple weeks, maybe a month. So Matt, three books added to our TBR. I just realized that I forgot. I usually try to keep a list of books. that are on our TBR, and I completely forgot this one book. I'm going to say it to you, and I'm going to see if you forgot that we have this book on our TBR. It is the King David's Report.
No, I remember. I have it.
Okay. I have it too. And I was like, okay, I have this, the Poison King. There we go. King David Report. When did we add that?
I think it was August. It was an edition of Flashman.
Okay.
And, you know, and I actually read, I went back and read 1st and 2nd Samuel in the Bible to kind of prep myself for it. So we'll see if that sticks. And you know what's interesting about that? There's a lot of, you know, that book, Absalom.
Yeah.
Absalom shows up. It's from that period of the Bible. So a lot of people pull books from there. No, we're good. And honestly, what's probably going to happen, I apologize if you went ahead and read it, like the listener, not you, Peter. Life and Fate's probably going to be our book of the decade. Instead of the book of 2022, it's going to be the book of the 2020s. Master Margarita will happen. That's going to be a year like that. We're just expand these things.
Hey.
We'll get to them, and it'll be a fun surprise. And
yeah, it will be fun.
Yeah.
All right, Matt. It's been fun.
It's been really fun. I just feel vaguely guilty.
Yeah.
And
one of them is a very long Civil War book. Shelby Foote. No, I'm excited.
Yeah.
Yeah. So next week, the plan is we'll have a book report,
yep.
Book review. We're not going to add more books next week or probably the week after. But once we get into May,
we're going to add more in May.
More books, but
probably two.
As always, we appreciate you listening. We appreciate you interacting with us on our social media. And we will be back next week.
Bye.